Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us tonight. You can visit us at www.floridaparanormalsociety.com to learn more about our society. But we have a great show for you tonight. Basically, we're going to be going ahead and discussing one of my favorite topics, Bigfoot. There was a new video that came out of California that we're going to talk about. And then later on in the show, we're going to go ahead and we're going to discuss some news that comes from a galaxy far, far away. No, but about 95 light years, actually, to be exact. SETI received a signal from deep space that they believe may be intelligent life. So a lot of neat things are happening in the paranormal world over the last few days, and we're going to talk about that. So the first one that we're going to go ahead and talk about is the Bigfoot video. Came out of Sequoia National Forest. Apparently, there is a lot of hype around this video, a lot of excitement. What is it? Is it documented proof of a Bigfoot and things of that nature? So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And one of the individuals that we have to talk about this is none other than a BFRO investigator. I'm going to have Ree Monteith actually join us. She's a member of FTS, the FTS team, and she's also an expert in the Bigfoot phenomenon and cryptids. She's done a lot of investigation and is very knowledgeable. Ree, are you there? We seem to be having some technical difficulties. We're trying to get Ree on the line. It'll just be one moment.
Can you hear me?
Ree, can hear you now.
Okay, are you there? Can you hear me now?
Well, there's nothing like having a radio show and having it be semi-live and having technical difficulties, but it's okay. We're all professional. So we have Ree Monteith, the BFRO investigator. How you doing, Ree?
I'm doing well. How are you, Evan?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm so glad that you took the time to join us tonight. I know you're a busy bee. So, you know, I watched this video that came out of Sequoia National Forest, and the story behind it is that a law enforcement officer is a part of this video, is verifying it to some extent. There's a theory that it may be a Bigfoot. It definitely looks primate in nature. But what do you think? What does the BFRO think? I mean, you're on the inside of one of the great Bigfoot societies. So what's the take on this?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, being with the BFRO is just such a great resource in itself because there are so many of us. I mean, there's several hundred investigators who have lots of experience. And the great thing is we all, we do have a network, like a board that we all post to. So we bounce ideas and things off of each other. If a video comes through or some audio comes through, we post it. And you get the feedback from all these people, all these experts in their field. And being a part of that is a great thing because everybody has a difference of opinion. And, of course, all of us have lots of Bigfoot experience. So, as a matter of fact, it was last week, it might have been 2 weeks ago, that we got this footage, and we all discussed it. And, you know, several questions do come to mind. But also there were a lot of observations from other investigators. And one of the questions that I wanted, that I would like to know, but have not been able to get an answer from is, I realized that the law enforcement put up this game cam to try and get photos of people that are growing marijuana up in this area. But it doesn't tell, it does tell us that the camera is like 27 miles away from the nearest road and stuff, but it doesn't tell us how high the camera was or what it was posted on. Was it on a tree? Was it, you know, on the ground? Was it hidden in some rocks? And was it 2 feet high, 5 feet high, 6 feet high? What height was this? Because the footage is really interesting. I mean, you obviously see some legs, you see hair, but you really need a lot of those other facts to kind of come to a conclusion, I think.
Sure.
But offhand, when I look at it, just looking at it, I at first thought bear. And I realized the law enforcement officer is coming off and saying, no, it's not a bear. And then the next thing I would think of, if it's not a bear, I'm thinking it's maybe a wolverine, because there have been some wolverines in that area, as rare as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Which would pull it off. You know, it's a badger type animal. Pull it off, and they would, you know, bury it in woods or, you know, or destroy it. It just doesn't seem Bigfootish to me in nature, even the way it. It you know, it pulls the camera off and buries it and leaves. I don't know. I'm really having a hard time thinking that it's a Bigfoot. I am.
You know, that's an interesting take. And you know, I actually just had to refresh my memory, so I decided to pull up a wolverine, and I can definitely see a similar hair texture as you see in the video.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's very interesting. You know, it does to me seem. A lot of people will look at this and go, well, why is an animal bearing a game cam? Why would an animal do that? Well, a lot of people don't realize is that animals don't like things that are also foreign in their environment. So
absolutely. It's something it's not familiar with. It smells funny, sounds funny. Yeah, they just don't know what to think of it. So they would be curious of it. I mean, how many of us have put up game cams and you end up raccoons come right up to the game cam and look at it, you know? They get curious. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, anything born in an environment for a creature is going to draw its attention. And, you know, it's not like Bigfoot sees the game cam. It's like, oh, nope, I don't want you to get my picture yet. I'm going to put it down in the ground. You know, that's not what happens. It's basically like, there's something foreign here, I'm going to put it down. So if it is, and that could be primate behavior. I mean, sure, it's well-known fact that primates, which Bigfoot would fall in that category, I believe, gorillas are very territorial. But, you know, it's interesting. I'm really actually fascinated. That's really clever that you brought up the wolverine, because a lot of people would not, they're thinking something, they see those big arms, but we really don't know the scale yet. We don't. It's difficult to get the scale. So that's definitely a possibility. And did anyone else come up with any other theories? Was there anyone that's like, no, this is definitely. Did they have a Bobo moment where it's definitely a Sasquatch? I mean.
No, I don't think. I think most of us concluded that it was inconclusive. Because there are so many unknowns, and the unknowns being you don't have the scale, you don't know how the camera was positioned, how high it was, you just can't even you just can't make any conclusion really without those basic facts, because then again it's just speculation. And we go back to speculation.
Sure.
You know, this is, and again, you know, speculation our speculation, again, most BFRO investigators would agree that most game cams that are put up are avoided by Bigfoot. And that's because they are foreign, just what you said. They're foreign objects. I like to tell people, you know, if you walked into your living room and there was a new picture hanging on the wall, would you notice it? Well, heck yeah, you'd notice it. So, and if you were a little bit fearful of things or paranoid, you would avoid it. So I think most Bigfoot, when they come across a camera, is a man-made object on a on a tree, and it doesn't belong there. So they're going to avoid it. You might have better luck if you had a game cam, a man-made object on another man-made object. Just as some people have had better luck with Bigfoot cam or game cams catching something, what they think is a Bigfoot from it being on their car or on their in their home where it's shooting out the window, because it's a man-made object on a man-made object, and it's not that noticeable. But out in the woods, in the middle of nowhere, it's going to smell. It's got a different smell. It will have a it will make noise. Some of them do have high frequency sounds when they do take a picture, and that's going to alert animals around, any type of animal. I mean, you look at deer are always looking at it because when it takes their picture, because they hear that sound. Bigfoot, they're pretty, they're very intelligent. They know what to avoid.
You know what? And you're 100% right. And you really touched on something. And the listeners, I really want to focus on this for a second, because you brought up a really good point. You talk about like the high frequency sound and with that these things may emanate. And if my theory on Bigfoot, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that has this theory, that they have a much higher, their senses are much further along than a human. Whether it's sense of smell,
absolutely, I would agree.
Eyesight,
smell, sense, hearing, everything. Yes, that's how they survive. Exactly.
Exactly. I'm so glad that you touched upon that. So you know, it's something that we can't hear. They may hear it then.
Right. Dogs can hear, right? Silent dog whistles. The dogs can hear these things. We can't hear those high frequencies, but most other animals can. You even have you even can purchase things to keep rodents out of your house, right? You plug it in the wall, and it puts out some kind of a high frequency sound that even the dogs and cats can't hear. We can't hear, but the rodents hear, and it keeps them out of your house. So, I mean, different animals will have a different frequency of hearing, and whether it's high or low, I would put a Bigfoot in that category. Just don't know what their highs and lows are, but it's certainly more than what we humans have.
Sure. And, you know, it's a challenge for anyone that's going into the field. As you know, Reece, you've been in the field a lot, and it's a challenge to try to go ahead and find a way to mask your sense, to mask you visually for camouflage, audio noise, anything of that nature. That would, let's face it, these creatures tend to stay away from us. But there are stories of them being curious. You know, this particular story is very interesting to me because it's 20-some miles in the woods. So that is the one thing that's fascinating, is it's really far out there. And even though this video is not conclusive, I'm sure I'm not the only one that wants to hop on a plane and get dropped in, you know, the Grand National Forest.
Go out there in the middle of nowhere, and see.
It's, I guess it's in our blood, but I don't know. Are you ready to suit off? Maybe we should call a helicopter.
I'm ready to go. I was ready to go yesterday.
I'm sure we're not going to be the only ones. Now, have you heard anything that was like, you know, have you heard anything more that developed, like, there was any other evidence, whether it's prints, any other kind of disturbances, or it's pretty much the video what we have to go by right now?
I think the video is everything we have right now. We have not received anything else. There could possibly be something out there, but it has not been brought to our attention at this time. So I don't know. I mean, there's not much more we can go on, but just that. Mm-hmm. And it would be really helpful if that law enforcement person came, you know, actually, you know, came forward and contacted us and to talk more about it. That would be great.
Sure.
But, you know, some, a lot of times this happens, with, especially with high-profile witnesses, you know, law enforcement, biologists, whatnot. They may put something out there or they may contact us, but they don't want to really follow up because they don't, they're really frightened of having their name put out there, which we would never do, but they're just really frightened and of getting ridiculed or laughed at. And, you know, that's just something we got to work through. And hopefully with Bigfoot sightings becoming more mainstream and more open and people talking about it more, a lot of people will lose that fear.
You know, and that's a great point, because, you know, as you know, I mean, whether it's BFRO or FBS, we deal with that all the time, whether it's whether it's an extraterrestrial sighting, whether right now we're dealing with a sighting at a house where there's voices. And confidentiality is so important. And a lot of people have a tough time coming forward. They're scared because, and this guy's in law enforcement. He's a game warden.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be ridiculed. He doesn't want this to be.
Yeah,
and
it happens. But there are, I mean, I was talking to a law enforcement, and actually it was a game warden this weekend here in Florida. And he has had several experiences in the Ocala area, and him and I now have an open dialogue, which is really great, because whenever there's any kind of strange reports in that area, he calls me up, and I get the inside information from law enforcement, which is great. But he's also had a few things happen, and he was out at a lake out in Ocala this weekend and had an experience. So he called me up and was telling me about it. And I was kind of giving him some advice because he's ready to go back and see what he can do. And he was a little concerned that maybe, if he puts a big bright light on it, it might attack him or something. And I told him that was highly unlikely. It would probably run away. But, you know, by all means, it, obviously it was curious of his camp. And this is like the third time he's been at that camp, and it's come right up to his campground. And thrown things at them and been vocal. So he's ready to really jump in and see what else he can do. Some of them do.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's fantastic because, you know, these shows that have come on television over the last 10 years have done so many great things for the paranormal field, because what they've done is they've made it more mainstream. So people are getting more comfortable talking about it.
Or maybe 20, absolutely.
Yeah, 20 years ago, you wouldn't have that, you know?
Nope.
And now it's kind of like coming out more. And, you know, it's interesting because I know in this video kind of reminds me of a video I saw in Yellowstone where, you know, you had what appeared to be a large primate-type figure in the distance walking near a herd of animals, and the herd was running. You know, it was inconclusive. But you know, this video kind of gives me that vibe. Like, it even though it's inconclusive, I mean, when I was watching it, I was like, oh my God, I want to see the face. Just show me the face. You know, and of course, it never happened. But it definitely, I think, warrants a further investigation. I'm sure there's gonna, whether it's BFRO or some other research group, I'm sure they're gonna go out there. I know. I would love to go out there. It's just, it's really exciting, and it's cool, and it's neat that we had a law enforcement person go, hey, what the heck is this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
one of the interesting things too about my theory that it might be a wolverine is, you know, there's not many wolverines. They're pretty rare. There's not a lot in California, but in the last 2 years, three have been sighted on game cams. And one was in the Tahoe National Forest, and the other one was in the Sierras, and it's all in that same area where this video was taken. So, so even though there's not a lot of wolverines, obviously they're breeding out there, I guess it does need to be investigated, but I'm really thinking it's a wolverine. Which is still pretty cool in itself, because there's not many of them. It's really
yep.
cool.
It could be a win for wildlife.
Yes.
Wolverines are very closely related to the badgers, and and I've actually seen badgers in Idaho when I went out in the field out there. And mm-hmm. the first time I saw a badger, I actually thought it was a bear. You know,
yeah.
I was like, "What the heck
yep.
is that?"
Yep.
You know.
Yep. And if it's an animal that you're not used to seeing, too, it's easy to give a misidentification of it, you know, especially, you know, here's a law
yep.
enforcement officer who, yes, he's seen lots of bears, he's seen lots of the flora and fauna of California, but chances mm-hmm. are he's never seen a wolverine, out in the wild before because there's not many of them. So it's easy to
yep.
do a misidentification because it's something you haven't seen before.
Absolutely.
You know, you can speculate that it could be a Bigfoot, could be, but I don't know. I'm really thinking it's a wolverine. So.
Yep, and you might be right. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. Of course, I'm sure as you are that it is a Bigfoot, but I'm sure you're going to do some more research on it. I know I am
yep.
now because you know as always, it's one of the reasons why I like to work with you is you bring things out that I don't necessarily think about. And I didn't
yeah.
draw the correlation of wolverine at first, but now I'm going to do some research on it. Well, really,
yeah, but you can see, you said you pulled up that picture, that fur, it looks a lot like it, doesn't it?
it sure does. And now I have to do some more research. So I don't know if I'm
yeah.
happy about this now. I don't know if I'm happy about this. I was convinced so much.
Well,
about
hey,
this.
But it's okay. It's okay because, it's something, if it's, a speculation of something and you can think that it might possibly be something else, it opens your mind and your eyes to other things so you're not always having Bigfoot on the brain, because that's
yep.
the worst thing a researcher can do is that everything they hear and see is automatically a Bigfoot because you really have to
yep.
debunk it before you can say anything else. And
exactly.
you know what? I think this is a wolverine. Yeah, which,
yep.
again, I think it's exciting because that means that they're populating and they're reproducing out there in California, which they need
yep.
to do.
It definitely brings credibility to our field when you approach it in that manner, and that's definitely what we want. Well, Reed, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it. We'll stay in touch,
okay.
and I'm sure we'll be in touch about any further developments you hear.
Absolutely.
I'm going to let you go here because I know we got to go on to another field of extraterrestrials.
All right.
Thank you so
okay,
much.
Okay, well, thanks for having me, Evan.
Always. I appreciate you coming on.
Okay. Oh, and you know what? One more thing before we go. I want
go
to
ahead,
mention.
Go ahead.
Okay, before I go, we have the possibility here in Florida of a tropical storm or a hurricane in the next few days. Okay, so there's going to be lots of water, lots of flooding. The winds are going to be going back and forth and really high. Animals will be displaced. Okay, and animals also including Bigfoot, they're going to be displaced. So all of you researchers out there who like to get out in the woods, as soon as the winds subside, get out there and start looking because all the animals are going to be displaced and Bigfoot will be on the move. They're going to be looking for higher ground. So go to higher ground looking for them. That's my advice.
You know what? You're 100% right. I could talk to you all night about this because you just pinpointed one of my favorite times of going out exploring is right after the rain. And it's
uh-huh.
funny you mentioned that. So explore,
okay.
take her advice.
Okay. Well, have fun and keep on scratching.
Bye.
All right, talk to you later.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
So as you guys can see, Ree and I, we have a lot of energy, guys, and when we get going, well, we get going. So and Bigfoot is one of our favorite topics, of course. How could it not be? All right, guys, real quick, I wanted to talk to you guys about SETI. SETI recently came out that they are actually investigating a signal from deep space. This signal is from about 95 light years away. 95 light years away. And what's interesting about this signal is that it was first discovered about a year ago. So we're just hearing about this now. So imagine that. Scientists discover a signal that could be intelligent life in the world. The whole world doesn't know about it for a whole year. So now we're finally hearing about it. So what is so amazing about this signal, you're probably wondering. Well, it turns out that it's about 4.5 times more powerful than a typical static sound that will come from that environment. 4.5 times more powerful. That's significant. That's extremely significant because chances are, if this can be verified and this signal can be isolated, that it's not being emanated from the star, it's not some kind of natural phenomenon where we have this really strong signal, then we're talking about the discovery of intelligent life. And what level is this intelligent life? Okay? Well, that's a great question. Okay? Because there's scales. There's different scales on how we go ahead and dictate what is, or how advanced, I should say, a society is. Okay? And you probably have never heard of it before, but it's called the Kardashev scale. All right? And this scale basically goes, all right, how powerful would a civilization be? And there's like type 1 civilization, type 2 civilization, type 3 civilization. A type 1 civilization, a planetary civilization, uses and stores energy that reaches the planet from its neighboring star, hence human. Okay? We use solar panels, all right? We harbor this energy from our star. Well, this civilization, they're saying, would be what's considered a type 2 civilization. And that means it actually harnesses the energy of the entire star. Okay? This is a civilization that can travel in between the stars. This is a civilization that may be trying to communicate to us. This is phenomenal. This is huge. I can't explain how big this discovery could potentially be. So needless to say, okay, SETI and their peer groups are focusing in on this star, and they are going to be monitoring it 24/7 to go ahead and see, hey, is there intelligent life out there? We are living in one of the greatest times in the history of mankind. Okay, now we can talk about how aliens have already been here. We can talk about abduction. We can talk about all these other things. But right now, this is the scientific community. Think the movie Contact here, okay, that is reaching out and might realize that we actually we're not alone. We're not alone. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And it's a great time to be an explorer. So, you know, I challenge anyone listening to this broadcast. You know, you hear the passion in our voices. You know, you heard Reed talk about Bigfoot and the excitement. And hopefully I'm having that same effect on you as well, where you can see that we're passionate about what we do. Whether it's Lost Cities or it's Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster, whether it's aliens and extraterrestrial life, this is what we love to do. This is our passion. And the only reason why we do these shows and the reason why we're out there, you know, we're sharing our passion with you guys. You know, and I challenge you to go out there after this storm, if this storm hits us in Florida, you know, use it as an opportunity. Go out in the woods. Take your iPhones out there. Take your cameras out there and go ahead and try to find proof, try to find evidence. You know, whether it's BFRO, join them if you're in the woods. If you're here in Florida, God, we would love to have in our society. Check us out. We're always looking for new members that bring a new point of view, that are willing to go harder and farther into the unknown to get the answer. Challenge you to check us out. Check us out at www.floridaparanormalsociety.com. If you're interested in joining us, send us an email at info@floridaparanormalsociety.com. Follow me on Twitter at Evans Paranormal. So, you know, and follow my daily tweets. I'm on there all the time. You can reach us. We want you to join us and you know, keep on exploring. So thank you so much for joining us on our radio show tonight. I hope you enjoyed it, and keep on exploring. Have a wonderful night. Bye.